Happy Sabbath, everybody. Are you glad to be in God's house this morning?
And before we start, I'll ask my two girls.
I've got two texts I would like them to read. And the key word in those texts is the word compassion, because that's what we're going to be talking this morning. So the first one, Cindy is going to read to you Lamentation 3:22 to 23. And Natalie's text is Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. And in those two texts, you'll see the word compassion coming through. So, Cindy, Lamentation 3, 22 and 23.
Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is your faithfulness.
Micah 7, 18 to 19 says, Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities.
Is that a beautiful text? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning. And we know you're here, Christ, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. And we invite you into our hearts. Touch our lives like we've just been singing. So may people see Jesus in us. As we look at this topic this morning, we pray that you will touch our hearts and that we'll be open to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, the compassion of Christ is the title. And some ideas I've borrowed here from a guy called Jonathan Zita. Some of you might have heard of him if you do audioverse. Do you agree that we are pretty selfish by nature? Or just look at a baby at birth. I'm a registered nurse. I work at the SAN, so we see a lot of babies being born every day. When the baby is born, first thing they cry out is what? It's always me, myself, and I. I was pretty warm inside, and I was fed on demand, on top, like they say, and I come to this world and I've got to cry because I'm not getting the food I want. I'm not warm. Basically, I want to go back where I came from. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Psalm 51, verse 6, David says, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. I'm sure you're familiar with those texts. There was a story of two men. They were eating in a restaurant. And one was talking about himself for, the last hour, an hour or so. He just kept talking and talking. What he was doing, his life, what he was married to, and his career, and everything. And then after about an hour and a half of his talk, he looked up and said, Oops, it's like the light went in his brain. He realized, Oh, I made a mistake. I've been talking about myself. And he turned to his friend, and he said, Let's talk about you. What do you think of me? This is, unfortunately, very close to our heart. Sometimes we can relate to that. And you know, we've got the I problem. What's the middle letter of the word sin? I. Pride? I. Lucifer? I. Sadly, somehow, this selfishness also permeates our Christianity. Therefore, Christians experience lacks of power. We lack power. Before I go on, I don't know, I think Danny introduced, I should have introduced myself. My name is Harley. That's my wife and the two daughters, and I'm a nurse, like I just told you, I work at the SAN. So here, I put here, true compassion is the opposite of selfishness. True compassion is the opposite of selfishness. And there's a saying that goes something like this. I know some of you might have heard it. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And how true this is. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. This morning, I'll invite you to open your Bibles, and we're going to look at some examples of Christ's compassion during his earthly ministry. We'll go very briefly over that. Let's turn to Matthew 14, verse 14. First text. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. And you see the first instance of compassion in the life of Christ. It reads, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them. And he gave them a Bible study." Is that your version? Mine says, "And he healed the sick." He was moved with compassion for them and healed the sick. Let's look at the next one. Matthew 15, it's not very far, the next chapter, 15 verse 32. Matthew 15, 32 says, "Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way." So the second instance, we see that Jesus, moved with compassion, what does he do? Fed the people. Next one, turn to Mark 6, verse 34. Mark chapter 6, 34. Third instance of compassion recorded in the Bible. Because we're talking about the compassion of Christ. Mark 6, verse 34 says, And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. So the third instance, what does Jesus do? He didn't entertain them, but he taught them. He taught the people. And the last one we'll look at this morning is Luke 7:13. Luke chapter 7, verse 13. Luke chapter 7, verse 13. And by the way, did you like that children's story this morning? It's always a classic, is it? And I thought it goes well with what we're going to be talking this morning. Luke 7, verse 13. "When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.'" What does Jesus do? He comforted the widow. Moved with compassion, he comforted the widow, those who were grieved. And you know, we can go on and on. The one that I'm thinking of, that I've written down, but we're not going to go there. It's found in Luke 19, verse 41. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Not so much because he was sad for what was going to happen, of course, the building, but he was sad for the people because of their unbelief. He was crying. He lamented. And Luke 23, verse 28 says something like this. He made a prophecy. When the daughters of Jerusalem was telling him, look, having compassion on him, and he said, no, don't worry about me. Worry about your children, because he could see what was going to happen in AD 70. He could see the destruction of Jerusalem. And my question this morning is, could it be that Jesus is weeping when he looked at our church? He looked at us this morning. He looked at the church today. Are we indifferent to suffering and sin? These are very hard questions. Jesus was weeping over Jerusalem. There's a quote here I'd like to put up from the pen of his inspiration. She says, Ministry of Healing, "Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then he bade them follow me." Do you see the sequence here? What does Jesus do first? He mingled with the people. He mixed with them. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, every person has needs, especially those without Christ. And I believe that the initial felt needs, what we call the initial first needs of a person, is not spiritual. You go out there in the community, and most people don't have any spiritual needs. You do a draw appeal, you go there, and people have got problems. It could be health issues, it could be financial needs, problem with teenagers, but very rarely they start with on a spiritual level. Now, the compassion of Christ led him to meet the felt needs of the people first. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, taught the people, comforted those who were grieving. and not necessarily spiritually, unless their need was spiritual. And that there's an instance of this in the Bible. Remember when Jesus healed the paralytic? When they brought out the paralytic to him, Ellen White in Desire of Ages says, this man would have been happy to go home without physical healing. Yet he was carrying a burden of sin on him because of what he's done in his past, and he was guilty and he was feeling so burdened. And for him, his primary need was spiritual. And Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven. And then he healed him. But most of the time, it's not, friends. By the way, we must continue to meet spiritual needs. I'm not saying don't worry about spiritual needs. And by that, I mean passing out literature. I like giving CDs and DVDs to people. Person might not be ready at that time, but this is called seed sowing. You sow the seed, and who knows? In God's time, the seed will germinate. At work, I come across a lot of people. And at the moment, we're very sad in where we are, the department where we're working. A lot of crying, a lot of tears, because one of our girls who used to work with us is dying. She's dying. She's got cancer. And we ministered to her. I've gone time and time again to pray with her. And I said, Lord, this isn't so unfair. This life is not good. I've shared a lot of DVDs with her. We prayed, and she's coming to the end now. We know the signs, and she's actually gone back home. There's nothing the doctor can do. And, you know, we try and share hope in Jesus, because that's what it's all about. We live in a world of sin, and you know that Satan is the author of sin, and he lives there. But Jesus will make things right. Let's now look at how do I become more compassionate? Because we've looked at the compassion of Christ. Let's put it a bit more practical, and we'll come a little bit more practical towards the end. How do I become more compassionate? And this, I prayed over that topic. When they asked me to come, and I knew I was preaching here, and I said, what do I preach about? And this is what God has been impressing on my heart. Preach this message here in this church. And we need it in our lives. I need it in my own lives. I need it at church, at Stanmore, everywhere we go. We need that. Last week, when Minnie was talking about his thought of a day in Sabbath school, he was talking about those people who was burnt in Queensland. You know the family, the Samoan family. And tears started flowing. A lot of people had tears because, you know, the question is why, and you could look at the you don't have answers to a lot of things, but we need to be more compassionate. There's a lot of hurting people out there. So the first thing I've put, and that ties very well with the Sabbath school this morning. First bit I've put, make Jesus the number one priority in our lives. How do I become more compassionate? In a nutshell, get to know Jesus. Because he's the author of compassion. Matthew 6:33 said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The story, I like that story. You've heard it a few times, the group, but Felipe Massa of Brazil should have won the Formula One Grand Prix in September 2008 in Singapore. When he came to do the refueling stop to put fuel, he was in the lead. And when he took off, the fuel hose was still attached, and he didn't know. So they had to stop the car, take the hose off. By the time they did that, he finished 13th. He should have won. The fuel hose was still attached. The Apostle Paul warned Timothy of another kind of attachment that would cause him to defeat. It's called the affairs of life. Here's the text. No one engaged in warfare. Do you believe we're at war, friends? Are we at war? We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're at war. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. To please him. And what are some attractive things that prevent us from making Jesus our number one priority or entangle us in this world? These things that I'm listed are a few, but they're not everything, obviously. They are good things. They're not bad things. First, I put hobbies. We've got sports. We've got TV, computer games, Facebook, all good things to keep track of our friends. The problem becomes they start up as refueling activities. You know, we just stop there for a while just to refuel, but sometimes we stay a bit too long. They can take up so much of our time that we don't have time to show compassion to others. Because I'm coming back, the theme is compassion. To show compassion, you need to have time. You need to invest time. You know, for me, I like to give CDs. And often it's so easy to just give somebody a DVD and just walk off. I've done my bit, Lord. I've just thrown my seed. But when the person starts talking to you and you think, oh, I've got to sit and listen to that person. I've got to invest time. And that's a different story. We don't have time. I'm listening to Doug Batchelor this week, and he was talking about the four screens in our lives. What are they? Those who've listened to him. TV, computer, iPad, or mobile phone, and the last one is our own lives, what people are seeing. This is our screen of our lives when we go about, whether at work, whether we come to church, at home. This is four screens in our life. 1 John 2:17 says, the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So we need to invest time, like I've heard this morning, in people for eternity, because things, like he says, they come and go. You buy an iPad. What number are we now? Number 4, 5? Don't worry, friends. Just save your money. Just hold off a little bit more. If you can wait for a few months, you'll get the later one. It keeps coming. It keeps updating. But things come and go. But the things that doesn't go is people. Because the reason we're here is, like somebody said, to populate heaven. That's our main reason here. What on earth is that? To populate heaven. This is our goal here on earth. We're just passing through. The second one I've put here to experience Christ, to become more compassionate, is this one. Experience him on a daily basis. What I mean by that is to learn to hear a still small voice and, more importantly, to obey. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I talked to Trudy. I said, well, how about if I just say hello to Trudy in the morning and hello at night and we don't talk at all, we don't communicate. You think the marriage will last? Hi, Trudy. Good morning, Trudy. Good night, Trudy. Very soon, it will be gone. And sometimes with Christ, we'll just say quick hello in the morning and quick hello at night. We don't talk to him throughout the day. Not only in the morning, not in the evening. It's throughout the day. If you cannot hear God's voice speaking to your heart, you're on dangerous ground. You need to hear his voice. If I ask you a question, how many of you want to go to heaven? Don't raise your hands, because all the hands will go up. But let us be honest this morning. How do you expect to get to heaven if you never study, never pray, never learn to discern that small voice of God? I'm talking about discernment. You hear a lot of voices, but you need to discern. Elijah, when he was in contact with God, there was a whisper when he heard that voice talking to him. And Pastor Alden Ho, one of my favorite preacher among, he calls it wishful thinking. If we're going to go to heaven without putting a bit of effort, without spending time with Jesus. Wishful thinking. You cannot make it into heaven. It doesn't happen that way. It is a work in progress. You learn to spend time with Jesus in the morning, and by so doing, his word will resonate in your heart. He will guide you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll say it, friends, going to church on Sabbath won't save us. We need to stop playing games. And I'm speaking to myself. I'm speaking to people in our group here, Mauritian singers, because Danny will come up later on and share a little bit about what we're going to do in December. I wanted her to come because it has to be practical, because I can talk and ramble on about a lot of things. But let's put it practical. What can we do to be more compassionate? And you'll hear what's going to happen. We can't serve two masters, Jesus said. We either hate one and love the other. Don't be like a chameleon. You know, the chameleon, they adapt to situation. They adapt to environment. Wherever they are, they'll just go in. They change color. And the eyes of a chameleon can rotate in different directions. And sometimes as a Christian, we've got one eye on Jesus, one eye somewhere else. Don't be like a chameleon. James 4:4 says, friendship with the world is what? enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You have to surrender your life to Jesus daily. Turn to Galatians 2:20. It's one of my favorite texts, Galatians 2:20. I know a lot of you know it by heart. Let's look what Paul says to the Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not us, it's not me who's doing that work, it's Jesus. The story is told, and it's a true story, by the way, of a lady in Brazil. Some of you might have heard it, I don't know. She didn't have any money. Remember, we're talking about listening to God's voice. Okay. She didn't have any money. She only had 20 cents. She didn't have any food. What would you do if you got to that stage? What's a good thing to do when you don't have any money, you don't have any resources, and you're hungry? What do? Pray. It's a good start. Very good start. You got nothing else. So that's exactly what she did. She went to the bedroom. She prayed. She said to the kids, look, go to the other room. Mommy's going to pray. And she spent 2 hours praying. When she got up, she told the kids, I'm going to be back. I'm going to the stores to buy groceries. God has told me to go and get 3 months' worth of groceries. And you know, 3 months' worth of groceries, you think of a trolley. You go to Coles. Let's say you get three of those. That's 3 months' worth of groceries. Is it? One trolley, 1 month. So she gets three trolleys. I don't know how she's doing it, but she's pulling. And the other thing she heard, God says, go to counter number 7. Maybe it's God's favorite number. I don't know. Counter number 7, that's a good start. So she goes. She goes and fills the 3 cards. So she gets to counter number 7, she's about to pay. And the lady maybe took one look at those things and said, I'm sorry, I'm going to lunch. It's too many, maybe. But it was time for her to go to lunch. So she said, ah, you're going to lunch. Okay. But she said to her, go to counter number 8, go to counter number 6. But, you know, I'm going to lunch. So what would you do? The Lord said to her, go to counter number 7. So she stayed with a 3 months' worth of groceries. Remember, you had 20 cents in a wallet. So then, the lady comes back from lunch and sees her. Said, you still waiting? I said, yeah, well, I'm waiting. By the time the ice cream is melting. She says, okay. And she started going through the item, and the last one, beep, and the turtle came up. And just then, the voice came out on the loudspeaker, you know, El Dorado, saying, this is El Dorado's 7th birthday today. And the person in counter number 7 gets his groceries for free. Isn't that a good story? You love those stories? Great, huh? Good story. True story. We must individually hear him speaking to the heart. When every other voice is hushed and in quietness we wait before him, the silence of a soul makes more distinct the voice of God. He bids us, be still and know that I am God. Here alone can true rest be found. The group has just sung, we don't have time. We've already sung the short version of Come Away. I'll just read you the words. It says something like this. Don't you be in such a hurry, cause it only leads to worry. There's a time to work, but there's a time to pray. Try to find a quiet place to hear his voice and seek his face. Come and hear the Spirit calling, come away. The third one, the last one on that, how do I become more compassionate? You've looked at make Jesus number one priority. Spend time with Jesus. Experience him daily. Learn to hear his voice. The third one I put here, get to know Jesus intimately and personally. What do I mean by that? So many things we can talk about, but I've narrowed it to prayer and reading his word and the spirit of prophecy. You know, there's a story in the Bible, King Josias. You know the King Josias? I don't know if I pronounce it. Josias. That sounds better. That's French. Josias came to the throne. How old was Josias, by the way? 8. He was 8 years old. He was a small boy. When he reached the age of 26, he says, the Bible in 2 Kings 22:23 says that was his 18th year of his reign. He found out the joy and importance of the Bible, of the Word of God. They found the book of the law. I just want to point out what happened. Verse 19 says, his heart was tender and he humbled himself. God blessed him during his reign. How many years did he reign? 31 years. And God said something interesting to him. He said, I'm going to put you to sleep. You won't see the calamity that's going to happen after you. Which tells me when somebody goes to sleep, they go to sleep. Because Jesus said, God said to him, you won't see. So you're not going to be living after you sleep. You're going to go to sleep. You won't see anything that I'm going to bring, and you're going to rest. And he didn't. He died in battle, but he died a good king. And he's going to be in your kingdom of heaven one day. And because his heart was what? Tender, and he humbled himself. Verse 25 says something very important. Now before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, soul, and might. Nor after him did any arise like him. What a beautiful epitaph to put on your tombstone when you're gone. I read again. Now therefore before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, soul, and might. Nor after him did any arise like him. He's got a very good counsel here. Make the Bible the man of your counsel. Your acquaintance with it will grow rapidly if you keep your mind free from the rubbish of the world. Is there a lot of rubbish out there? My word. Her word. If you keep your mind free from the rubbish of the world, the more the Bible is studied, the deeper will be your knowledge of God. She's pointing people to the Bible. She's a lesser light pointing people to the true light of God. And this morning I've asked Patrick before we finish, after Patrick sing, I'm just going to go in the practical. How do we become compassionate? I'm sure you're asking about, okay, all this is good, but what can we do? The reason I asked Patrick to sing that song is because the song is ancient words. He's talking about the word needs to change me. Changing me, changing you. Because this is the word of God, friends. The word of God is not given for us to argue on, to belittle somebody or to bash somebody on the head. It's to change me, to change you. And like that story of Trudy, this will be seen on our faces at home. How easy to be Christian at work, at church, but how hard it is to be at home. She knows. To be patient, to be loving, to be kind, to have the fruit of the Spirit. And ask Patrick to come and sing that song, and we'll finish off not far off. We're not far off. Because the words of a song can touch your heart. And look at the words. Some of you know this word, but what is the word doing? It's changing me, changing you. And you know, a friend of mine is telling me, you know, the Bible, seemed to be reading a lot of the Bible, but I said to him, emailing him, I said, you know, a lot of people gave their life. It's been written with the blood of martyrs. I'm proud to be associated with this book. People who gave their life so that we can have this Bible today. So what have we looked at this morning? The summary to be more compassionate. Make Jesus number one priority in our lives. Experience him on a daily basis and learn to hear his voice. By the way, I'm not telling you anything new. You probably see, but no, it's nothing new. So repetition is good. I'm learning for myself. This is something you all know. I'm just telling you something that you know already. Know Jesus intimately and personally through his word. And I've got to remind myself every day of these points. What are some ways to show compassion? Practical steps. What can you do? You know, I put here, we must love people because we love them. It's amazing, eh? It's simple, but it's so true. Without ulterior motives, because sometimes, of course, want them to come and sit here, to be part of this church, to be part of my church, to get to know Jesus. But, hey, even if they don't come to this church ever, let's love them for all they are. Because Christ died for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave out his Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Compassion involves giving of our time. And this is so important. Because when you have compassion, you'll have to give time. You can't. I can give a DVD to you, but that's not compassion. Because I'm not spending time. Time is the essence. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan. What happened when the Good Samaritan came? Did he spend time with that man? I'm sure he was busy. He was doing something, but it took time to put him in an inn, give him food, everything. An act of worship to God, this is what it is. We give tithe and offering, but God says in Romans 12:1, your body, offer your body as living sacrifice, your free will offering, that's what it is. And that beautiful quote, I don't have to read the whole thing. She says, love one another as I have loved you. Then for us, his mission is accomplished. When you've got this in your heart, we are fitted for heaven. Why? We have heaven in our hearts. What is heaven in our hearts? Loving you, loving me, loving each other. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. What are some other ways to show compassion? Simple and random acts of kindness. An email, an SMS, a phone call. This is just a few ideas. Visiting Woolara, members who don't come to church, who are sick, advanced in age, visitation. My family here decided, well, the girls and Trudy, because I'm always working. That's the downfall of being a nurse. We work odd hours, but at least she's home with the kids. She's a primary school teacher, so she only works 2 days a week because of her kids. They've decided to visit the retirement village at King's Langley. Every week they go, and the people look forward. I always think, but aren't they fed up to see you? No, they look forward. If you miss 1 week, they say, where are they? They like to see those two little girls coming in, and Trudy, and I'm saying, Lord, maybe, you know, just a visit. They might not understand all that theology and all that heavy stuff, but hey, simple stuff. Last week, I remember Jeff said he went to soup kitchen in the city. I didn't ask him how it went, but practical things. Lynn and Lindsay, Lynn is not here, they involve helping a couple in need at the moment, family in need. I was mentioning this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, God has given us what? The ministry of reconciliation and intercessory prayer. Like I was saying, very hard to criticize somebody when you're praying for them. Try it. Try to criticize someone when you pray for them. Very hard. If you're sincerely praying for that person, they got faults, they got mistakes, pray for them. Not gossip. God didn't give us a ministry of gossip. Pray for one another to be ambassadors for Christ. Last time I was talking about that topic, I said the topic of 4711, the perfume. You know 4711? The old cologne, the original from Germany. What God says need to be a fragrance to people, an aroma. And I'm in the hospital. I come in contact with people. And you know, I prayed many times with people. And there's one thing I've noticed. When people are sick, they won't refuse prayer. Very rarely when somebody is sick, say, do you mind if I pray for... No, I don't want to pray. They will always acknowledge. They will say, yeah, sometimes, well, if that makes you happy, you pray. But that's okay. God, I'm opening the door. I say, God, I give you permission. Work on that person's life. And the results I might not see here, but in heaven you will know. So, the prayer this morning is, God, speak to my heart and give me compassion for the sufferings and the sin in this world. Ezekiel 9:4 says, the elders, they were doing something. God says, put a seal on them, their head. Seal them. Why? Because they were sighing and crying for the abomination, what was happening. Sighing and crying. They had compassion. They were sighing and crying. That's what we need to do as a people. We need to sigh and cry for one another and help each other, uplift each other, and God will put his seal on our head. Not talking about the Sabbath at the moment, but the seal, the ink horn. You go read it. The elders and the judgment starts where? If you read it, starts with the elders. How many elders have we got in this church? Don't raise your hands. Elders, visitation. Don't rely on the pastor. Elders, I'm speaking to myself at the moment. And the responsibility is great on our shoulders. We need to visit people. We need to be compassionate. And I'll finish off with this quote before Danny shared a little bit about Vanuatu. This is a beautiful quote. This is one of my favorite ones I picked up. Look what she says there. And that's why I need to stop talking. She says, she's talking to me. She said, there's need of coming closer to people by personal effort. If less time is given to sermonizing, which is, okay, I'm finished now. Enough sermon. More time spent in personal ministry. greater results will be seen. The poor are to be relieved, the sick cared for, the sorrowing and the bereaved comforted, the ignorant instructed, the inexperienced counseled. We are to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice, accompanied by the power of persuasion, the power of prayer, the power of the love of God. This work will not, cannot be without fruit. If that's not clear, friends, can you get an amen for this? And I pray that when you read that quote, the Holy Spirit will work on your heart. Look at people in your heart, in your life, people that you're working with, people that you need to apply this text to, people who are sick, people who need visitation, people who need a word of encouragement, whether it's an email, an SMS, a phone call, because you might be here. There's no guarantee I'm going to be here next week. This might be my last week here on earth. I see a lot of that in hospital, believe you me. Let's say it together. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And my appeal is to ask God to put His love into our hearts, to have the desire to be more compassionate. So then the Holy Spirit will be at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talk a lot about the latter rain. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is to have the God's love into our heart. Because the one thing that will bring to heaven, I know everybody's people will say it's your character. No, it's not your character. It's Jesus' character. That's what you're going to bring to heaven. My character, I've got no way. I'm not going anywhere. It's Christ's character in us, perfected in us. That's what we'll take to heaven. Lord, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts. We thank you for the message this morning that asks us to reflect your character, to be compassionate, to have a heart of compassion. When we see people in need, to be more compassionate, to even our own members, church members, people in our household, our children, our husband, our wife. Help us, Lord, to have the heart of Jesus. Like your servant said, when we've got compassion, you've got heaven in our hearts. Lord, help us to be loving and kind, and as we go through this week, to ponder on those words, to spend time with you, Jesus, because you're the author of life. You're the Lord of compassion and love, because none of us would be here this morning if it wasn't for your grace and your compassion. You put lamentation in Jeremiah, puts it well. Through the Lord's mercies we not consume, because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, and we thank you for life. We thank you for everything that you give to us. Touch our hearts, touch our lives, that we might be able to help one another, to contribute whatever ways we can to help each other, so that we can further your kingdom, so that you can come soon. Because when you come in your kingdom, it's not what we know that matters, it's who we know, whom we know. Because you do say to us when you come back, I was hungry, you fed me. I was naked, I was blind, I was in prison. These are the things that shows that we've got the love of Christ in our hearts. The head knowledge is good, but it won't save us. Unless we've, like you said, love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Help us, Lord, to get to know you every day, to spend time with you, so that we'll be ready. We'll know we'll be ready when you come, because we'll be doing your work. We'll be busy about our Father's business. Help us throughout the coming week, and give us your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.